Again, the spirit of the depth spoke, and I listened to the words. The cycle of life, death, and rebirth give no assurance that understanding awaits at the end of the journey. Why not break the cycle and take the straight road that leads to the east? And as before, the spirit of the times took a deep breath and said, "Finally, the words that strike a chord of reason. Perhaps now the hounds will cease their endless chasing of their tails, trying to catch a sniff of their asses." So it was. I found myself dropping down into the imagination, into the unconscious. I found myself trotting now on a journey headed from the west to the east, to the place where the Western soul finds its birthplace. It was a land desolate, bare rock mountains entwined with narrow dry valleys. It was a land of stifling heat by day and freezing cold by night, despite the coming of summer. I was climbing towards the heavens again when I heard a terrifying sound. At first I thought it was like a rumble of thunder, yet there was no cloud in the sky, only the sun bearing down, dissolving all the moisture in the air, and so I stopped and I listened, and then I looked up, and through the pass in the mountains there appeared an enormous man. Two bull horns rose from his great head, covered with thick black curly hair. His broad chest was shielded by a chainmail armor the color of midnight blue. In his right hand he carried a double-bladed axe. Well, you can imagine, I was frozen in fear with this bull man before me. He came down, it seemed, with just three or four steps down from the pass, and then stood over me. In his shadow of this fearsome creature, I gathered my courage until I could look up into his eyes. And there, you will not believe, I was amazed what I saw. I was expecting a look of belligerence, but there I saw in his eyes a look of expectation. Slowly, I dropped down onto the ground as a sign of abeyance, and I spoke, "Most honored one, please spare my life. Forgive me for lying like a worm in your path." The bull man responded, "I do not want your life. Where do you come from?"
"Most honored one, please forgive me. I come from the west."
He looked at me now closely. "You come from the western lands? Do you know the place where the sun goes to rest after each day's work?"
I looked up at him, and I said with very carefully measured words, "Most honored one, I fear that I am the bearer of an unsatisfying truth about the sun. There is no place where the sun goes to rest after each day's work. You see, the sun, it stands at a great, great distance from you and I, and in truth, we live on a planet called Earth. It spins on its axis in a circle around the sun, creating the illusion, only the illusion, that the sun sets in the west each day." The bull man's brow furrowed. He asked another question.
Then you are telling me that there is no immortal land where the sun goes each night to be reborn, to come back to life the next day? I dropped my head even lower before the bullman, and I spoke with great respect. Most honored one, please forgive me. Please forgive me for speaking the truth. The bullman stepped closer now. He raised his double-bladed axe in a threatening gesture, and he bellowed out, "Damn your truth! You tell me there is no western land where I can go to attain immortality, to be born anew as the sun each day?" I expected a blow from the great axe at any moment, but again I could not back away. I spoke bravely. "Most honored one, I do not want to harm you. I only speak the truth as I understand it. I come from the West, where truth is a proven science. Our scholars, they know through measurements how far the sun is from the earth." Now I raised my head and I looked to the heavens. I pointed with my finger and I said, "Most honored one, the sun is a celestial body far, far out in unending space." Now, that look of fear that came across the bullman's face, it indeed sent a chill through me. He spoke and said, "Unending? You tell me that if I keep walking to the west, I will not find the place where the sun sets?" Now I stood up and slowly reached my hand out towards the bullman, and I said to him, "In so far as you are mortal, you cannot reach the sun. I am truly sorry to tell you this, most honored one." The bullman continued, as if talking to himself now. He said, "I am mortal, and I shall never reach the sun. I will never achieve true immortality." Suddenly, the bullman took his axe and he smashed it against the rock. And then he cried out to the heavens, "How can I do battle against unending space? There is no one left for me to conquer." Now it was the bullman that slumped down to the ground, and I stood over him. So it was. The sun slowly disappeared over the western horizon. I reached out and I touched the bullman's midnight blue armor. All was quiet and still. Finally, only a rosy glow of light was left in the sky, and a chill came to the air. Slowly the bullman raised his head and he looked to the west. Then he cried out soulfully, "Go! Go, damn father of the gods! Wrap yourself in immortality! Your faithful son is left without a hope for eternity." The chill of the night air finally stirred me from the side of my fallen hero. I went out and I gathered some wood and built a fire. Quickly, the heat began to warm the two of us, two so unlikely companions. The mountain was quiet, except for the crackling of the fire, And then for the first time, the bull man looked directly to me and he spoke these words. This truth you speak of, this science you call it, is it a god? Is it a god to replace my father, the immortal son? No, 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 I said with a small sarcastic laugh. It's no more than words, just ideas about the truth. The bullman then asked, then you have nothing to believe in. I responded, you speak the truth. Science has taken from us the capacity for belief. And it is for this reason that I have come towards the east, to the land of the rising sun. I've come searching for a new light, a new understanding of truth. The bullman said nothing, and there we lay, together by the fire, resting before the coming of a new day and perhaps a new beginning. It was by first morning light that I rose and built the fire again. The bullman did not rise up to sit by the fire this morning. The experience of the past day had left him in a weakened state, and he could not even lift his heavy body from the ground. I looked at him and said, Most honored one, I know that I am greatly responsible for your loss of power. He responded, Your poison, this what you call science, it has cut me down. Just let me be. Death must come to us all if your science speaks the truth. But I cannot, I said in return. I feel a great responsibility for your plight, my friend. We are both wanderers on this earth. We're both seeking truth. And I'm looking for some way to fulfill my life. Please forgive me.
I do not blame you, said the bullman.
If I could take you back to the west, I propositioned, perhaps I could find help. Oh, but at your size, it's impossible for me to carry you. Thinking about my predicament, I got up from the fire and I walked a short distance away. Then I stopped and I looked back to the bullman. I called to him and said, Ah! I have an idea. The bullman responded, Why should I find hope in your ideas? Was it not your idea of science that condemned me in the first place? I came back to the bullman and I said, Please, please forgive me, most honored one. We in the West, we understand that ideas can both help and harm us. You have to be objective.
Then speak your idea, said the bullman.
Well, in the West, we have what is called myth. Myth, how can I say it? It tells a story that is true in the inner world of imagination. Please understand me, most honored one. You are a character from an ancient myth. If I remember correctly, from Mesopotamia, you are Izdubar, a demigod or superhuman in these ancient stories. I looked down to the place where the bullman lay helpless on the ground. Then I knelt down and I said these words, Please, please forgive me. Please understand, most honored one, I do not wish to offend you. But you are not real. in a Western scientific sense of reality. If you accept this truth that you are the imaginative creation of an ancient storyteller, then I am sure I will be able to carry you back to the West, where we may be able to help restore your health and find immortality through your story. The bull man, demigod, Izdubar, sighed, and then he spoke these words.
Ah, damn your science. I say again, damn your science. But what choice do I have?
Life changes. New realities appear, whether we choose them or not.
I will accept the truth of your science.
And do you know, at that moment, in a magical instant, the sinew, muscle, and bone of the bull man were metamorphosed into a figment of imagination, a fantasy lighter than a feather. He floated up effortlessly from the prone position on the ground, and I was able to take him into my arms and hold him, holding tightly to my now God-man Izdubar. I turned to the western lands and started the journey toward home. As you might guess, I was quite proud of myself for being so clever. But you know, I had not considered all of the results of this magical conversion. As with all brilliant ideas that produce a positive result, there's always an attendant amount of negativity that comes along, and in this case, I could now carry Izdubar, but it was also true that the first strong wind we encountered made the burden impossible to control. All of a sudden, we were both. As we sailed lightly above the treetops, I considered the reality of what might happen when we reached a population of humans who did not understand this ancient myth, the story of Izdubar. I thought about Izdubar. I thought about how humans oftentimes, they do not respond well to new and strange gods. Oftentimes there is skepticism and disbelief. And worse, sometimes there is a willingness to violence and a wish to control one and eliminate a new god. It would require a certain amount of luck for us both to land in a community of humans who would help me nurse this shattered god back to health. It was with this difficulty that I found myself coming to the end of the day, and it was Izdubar's beloved son that determined our destination. As the afternoon shadows lengthened and the wind diminished, we two intrepid wanderers, we descended towards a clearing near a woods. When we gently touched the ground, I looked for a place for us to rest. There, I decided the best was to hide in the woods for the night. I carried Izdubar lightly into a woods, and there I placed him, sitting him down, resting against the trunk of a tree. Then I set about collecting firewood for the coming night. When the fire was crackling merrily, I settled down on the other side, away from my friend Izdubar. How does one come to terms with the responsibility for the life or death of a god? I watched as the shadows of the trees surrounding the fire dissolved into a ring of black. Izdubar laid motionless, speechless, on the other side of the fire. I thought back I remembered that first moment when Izdubar and I met on that mountaintop. I remembered that real fear that I felt, that force of nature. And now, here he lay silent and helpless. I called over to Izdubar. I said, "Most honored one, you gave me life. I have never felt as alive as I did that moment when we first met. I did not want to harm you. I didn't want to destroy you by sharing my truth. What I said was simply what I'd been taught as a kid in school, not what I knew from living. Forgive my ignorance of your way of living." With a sense of remorse now, I dropped down into a deeper level of the unconscious. There, I found myself standing before the tree of life, rooted deep in the earth and rising up to the heavens. I knew this tree of life. I knew that it provided a journey, a pathway from the world of humans to the world of the gods. I saw that each branch provided shelter to a different family of humans. Some chose to stay close to the earth, close to the roots, sustained by human life. But others chose to live in high places on the tree, near the land of the gods, on branches that twisted and turned in the unstable airs that continually circled around the tree of life. It seemed to me that the branches nearest the heavens barely retained a substance of the earth. And then, it was then in my vision that I looked back down to the trunk of that great world tree. And within there I saw the womb of Mother Earth, where there lay an egg, a harbinger of new life. Suddenly, the egg split open, and from it, Izdubar rose to life again. I saw him, the mighty bull man, with his horns, his great carved head, his thick curly black hair, his broad chest shielded by the chainmail armor color of midnight blue. And in his right hand he carried the double-bladed axe. And in his eyes, his beautiful brown eyes, there was still that look of expectation. At that moment, my vision ended, and I was back by the fire. And across from me, there was that myth. There was Izdubar, a figment of my human imagination. It was morning, but I knew what I must do. By that first light of day, I stood up, and I walked around the fire, and I came to my great friend Izdubar. I reached down, and I took hold of him, and gently I began with my hands to squeeze and to knead and so carefully work his body until it became smaller and smaller. And finally, I held him in my hand, no bigger than an egg. Now, I took my God, and I placed him in my pocket. Now it would be my responsibility to determine how and where to reintroduce the idea of God back into the human society. It was I who would give life to God. So, this story ended my third lesson in a primer for education of a mind in search of a soul.